Ladies and gentlemen, moderators, brothers and sisters in Christ, good evening and welcome again to this important period of intensive Bible study. We're glad that you are here and we appreciate very much the special effort and considerable expense that many of you have expended in order to be here this evening. As we said last night, it is an unfortunate thing that brings us together. A matter of controversy that has brought much division in the body of Christ and threatens to cause even more. The only way that this division can be solved is by appealing to the Scriptures and by learning the truth and by applying the truth consistently in our lives. We pray that this debate will help in these ways. Last night we explained how this debate came about and how it is that I, a very young and inexperienced man, am the one debating a veteran gospel preacher like Brother Reeves. I'll not go into those details again, but I hope everyone here understands that I am humbled to be speaking in the presence of many here who are more knowledgeable and more effective teachers than I am. Having said that, let me add that I believe the truth of God on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is not difficult to understand. If we are honest, fair, and open-minded, we can understand God's will and God's truth on this matter. We don't need to be Greek scholars. We don't need the complicated and lengthy arguments in order to understand the simple facts that the Lord puts forth to us on this important subject. We can all understand this subject alike, and the Lord wants us to. Now let's begin. I know some of you were not able to be here yesterday evening, so I want to restate my position again. My proposition states, the Bible teaches that if a man puts away his scriptural wife for a reason other than fornication, and then commits fornication, the original wife may not remarry. Please note the essential elements of the proposition. We are basing our conclusions on what the Bible teaches, not on an appeal to personal opinions, human emotions, or on our particular judgments about what seems fair or right in our own minds. In the type of divorce that we are debating, a man puts away his rightful wife for cause other than fornication. He puts away his wife for a cause other than fornication. And then, noting that, she is innocent in the matter. She is nonetheless put away. And later then, after her marriage has been dissolved, the man establishes a sexual relationship with another woman. I maintain, and this proposition states, that the original wife may not use this fornication, which happens after the marriage has been dissolved, as justification to remarry another man. Brother Reeves says that she can. And that is the issue that we're debating. That's the issue we're debating. Whether or not this put-away woman can remarry. Next, I want to show you how my proposition lines up exactly with what the Scriptures teach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Again, we looked at this last night. Luke 16 and verse 18 says, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." I want to look with you how that lines up with my proposition. My proposition states in the first phrase that if a man puts away his scriptural wife, I think you'll agree with me that these are directly parallel statements. Observe that Luke chapter 16 and verse 18 is talking about a divorce where fornication was not the cause. We know this because the man commits adultery when he remarries. Our proposition deals with a case where fornication was not the cause of the divorce, one in which an innocent woman was put away. The next phrase, "and marrieth another, committeth adultery." My proposition states, "and then commits fornication." Remember, adultery is a form of fornication. Here in Luke 16 and verse 18, note that the man committed this act after he had put away his wife. This is exactly the way that we have it in our proposition. And finally, Luke 16, verse 18 says, "And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." My proposition states that the original wife may not remarry. There it is. That's what we're debating. We're debating the ability of an innocent put away woman to remarry. Luke 16 and verse 18, we'll address again, addresses such a case exactly and directly. And Jesus plainly says that although she was innocent, she cannot remarry without committing adultery. Also, yesterday evening we compared my proposition to Matthew 19 and verse 9, as you see here on the screen. For the sake of time, we'll not elaborate on that again. But I want you to note that these are merely exact and parallel statements, and that my proposition, again, lines up with Matthew 19 and verse 9. I want to add that Brother Reeves says there is no sequence in these verses. We heard him say that repeatedly last evening. But a man could not put away his wife for fornication if he had not yet committed fornication. Do you see the sequence there? And the put away woman could not be remarried if she had not first been divorced. Do you see the order of events that must be there? There is clearly sequence in these verses. Sequence that cannot be denied. Brethren, as we said last evening, the last two charts have sustained our proposition by showing that the Scriptures teach in nearly identical words the same thing that is stated in the proposition. Brother Reeves will have his turn in a few moments, again, to try to address these affirmative arguments. Be sure to hold him directly accountable to answer these two charts and to show why my proposition is false when it directly parallels what the Scriptures teach. Brother Reeves did not resolve these arguments last evening. The challenge remains for him to show why this proposition is false when it directly parallels the Scriptures. For him to say this proposition is false, would he not then be saying that these Scriptures are false? Hold him accountable to that. For the sake of better understanding the whole divorce and remarriage subject, and for the sake of clarifying the point that is often confused by many brethren and has been confused during this debate, let's talk for a few minutes about the difference between the marriage and the bond. Failure to make a proper distinction between these has led many people to false conclusions. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 7, verses 2 through 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no more an adult, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Note here what Romans 7 describes for us. A woman who is bound by the law of God to her husband. The woman is bound by God. But the passage tells us of her marrying another man while the original husband is still living. Observe that the original husband is still alive. But what's this verse tell us? That this verse tells us that she is married to another man. While her husband's alive, she's married to another man. This text clearly shows us that it is possible to be married to one while bound to another. In fact, as we have stated, this is a biblical definition of adultery. Bound to one and married to another. Let me further illustrate this point this way. An eligible man and a woman make an agreement to marry one another. This happens all the time. When they enter into this covenant of marriage, God binds them in regards to the relationship that they have established. If, at some point, they decide to dissolve the marriage, then the marriage is, in fact, dissolved. But, if the man takes another woman, Jesus says, it is adultery. In Luke 16, verse 18, he said, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. The reason this is so is because although he is not married to his former wife, he is still bound. Do you see it? Do you see why it is adultery for him? Likewise, if the woman takes another man, Jesus says it is adultery. In Mark 10 and verse 12, he said, if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. The reason this is so is because although she is not married to her former husband, she is still bound. This is a clear and simple teaching of the Bible on this subject. Men today generally ignore these principles, but they are nonetheless true. Now then, there are a couple of ways that this bond that we've been discussing can be broken, and I want to look at those two ways this evening. The first way is very simple, very easy for us to understand. If, for instance, the husband dies, he is out of the picture completely. The marriage no longer exists, and he is obviously not bound. But notice that the wife is not bound any longer as well. We know this from Romans 7 and verse 2. We read, For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Now, since she is no longer married or bound, she is free to marry another man with God's approval. This is one way that the bond, the marriage bond, can be broken. What's the second way that this bond can be broken? Follow along with me if you will. If the woman commits fornication, and the husband then can put away her for this cause, the husband can put away his wife for the cause of fornication. When he does so, the marriage is dissolved. It no longer exists. Additionally, he is loosed from the bond of God's law regarding that relationship. In Matthew 19:9, we read, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." Note that since the putting away was for fornication, the man is released from the bond and does not commit adultery when he remarries. But look at the situation of the woman. In the second part of Matthew 19 and verse 9, we read, "And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." She cannot remarry again. She is still bound by God's law concerning her previous marriage, and that's why it is adultery for her to remarry. These are the two ways that we read about in the Scriptures in which the bond can be broken: the death of one's marriage partner, and by the putting away of a guilty fornicating spouse. In fact, these are the only two ways in which a bond can be broken. Unfortunately, Brother Reeves wants to add a third way of breaking this bond. Let's say a man puts away his wife, but not for fornication. She is innocent, but he puts her away nonetheless. He is still bound in such a situation. And if he marries another, this is adultery. Again, we read in Matthew 19:9, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." The divorce was not for fornication. So he is still bound in his remarriage is adultery. But here's where Brother Reeves would add something that we cannot read about in the Bible. He says that since the man has now committed an act of fornication, the original wife can repudiate her relationship with him. Brother Reeves wants us to believe that this repudiation frees her from the bond. But look, where do we read of such a thing in our New Testaments? That's what we've challenged Brother Reeves to tell us, to show us a verse where this is so, and to date he has not done this. Brother Reeves says that she can now remarry and that it is okay. But Jesus says it is adultery. Notice in Luke 16 and verse 18 it says, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." This passage plainly teaches that the put-away woman, even though she was innocent when she was put away, is not free to remarry, even after her husband commits fornication. Brother Reeves has added this third way of breaking the bond, but it is not found in the Lord's Scriptures. Let me clear up some potential confusion by trying to clarify some terms. We discussed this yet last evening, but still we are finding that terms are being misapplied and misused. So let's discuss this again. Note that married goes with put away. These two terms go together. This is the part that man controls. Man makes the choice to marry. And that can either be a scriptural marriage or an unscriptural one. But man makes that choice. It's in his control. Man can also choose to end a marriage by putting away. And again, it can either be a scriptural putting away or an unscriptural putting away, but this is in man's control. Man is in control of this part. But observe that bond, the term bound, goes with loosed. God controls this. Only God can bind eligible marriage partners. And only God can loose a woman or a man from that bond. Divorce does not undo the bond, as we have heard from Brother Reeves. Brother Reeves thinks that as long as the bond exists, that the second putting away can still occur after the first putting away occurs, but understand, there is nothing to be put away. After the first putting away occurs, there is nothing left to put away. And that's where the confusion has come in. Brother Reeves is not properly using these terms. And for him to use these terms as he has been, he needs to show us proof from the Scripture for where he's getting the authority to use the terms that he is. Brother Reeves, last evening, said that I'm adding provisos to the teachings of Jesus Christ on the issue of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I want to address that for a moment. We stated last night that our debate is about who has the right to remarry. And we looked at what the Bible says, and we use this slide from Matthew 19 and verse 9. Let me read it to you. Matthew 19, 9 says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Brother Reeves says we need to stay in the context about Matthew 19 and 9. We totally agree. We must stay in the context. The context that this is written into, it is written to married people. Matthew 19 and 9 is addressed to married individuals, not to those who are already divorced. This was not addressed to divorced people. Brother Reeves is not staying in the context himself. The first part of this verse deals with the man who puts away his wife. If he puts away his wife not for fornication, he cannot remarry without committing adultery. The man who puts away his wife not for fornication does not have the right to remarry. But if he puts away his wife for fornication, then he is authorized by God to remarry without sin. The man who puts away his wife for fornication has the God-given right to remarry. The second part of the verse addresses the situation with the woman who has been put away. If she is put away for fornication, Brother Reeves and I have no quarrel. We agree that she cannot remarry. But I ask, where does Brother Reeves get that? Well, he gets that from 19b, doesn't he? He gets that from Matthew 19:9b. Is he adding provisos to get that conclusion? The answer is no, he's not. But however, notice that there is no exception in this second part of the verse. Even the woman who was innocent when she was put away cannot remarry without committing adultery. Well, where do we get that conclusion? We get it again from Matthew 19:9b. Are we adding provisos? No. Nowhere. No more here than Mother Reeves is adding provisos. We are not adding to the Scriptures in a way that is unscriptural. We are debating about the right of a put-away woman to remarry. Matthew 19:9 says that no put-away woman can remarry. It is just that simple, and it's not confusing, and it should not be confused. Brother Reeves also accused me of being inconsistent in my application of Luke chapter 16. Verse 18, A and B. Let's look at that in detail. First, let me show you an example concerning the salvation of accountable people. What's John 3:16 tell us? It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Is this "whosoever believeth in Him"? Is that absolute? Is that absolute? No, it is not absolute. Why not? Because there are other qualifiers. There are other conditions upon salvation, and we know that. What about Mark 16 and verse 16? "But he that believeth not shall be damned." Is this absolute? Is this "whosoever" here? Is this an absolute statement? Whether the statement that says, "he that believeth shall not be damned," is that absolute? Well, yes, it is. And the reason that it's absolute is because there are no other qualifiers in the New Testament which state otherwise. Now let's make a parallel to the topic of discussion that we are talking about, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Concerning divorce and remarriage, let's look at Luke 16, 18a. "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery." Is this absolute? Is this "whosoever" absolute? Brother Reeves says that we are trying to bind absolute things where things are not meant to be absolute. This "whosoever" is not absolute. The answer is no. And the reason why is there are qualifiers. There are other qualifiers in the Scriptures which qualify that statement. Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. If you put away for fornication, you may remarry without committing adultery. So we know that Luke 16:18a is not absolute, because there is an exception. What about Luke 16:18b? And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Is this absolute? Is this whosoever absolute? Well, the answer is yes. But why is it yes? Because there are no other qualifiers concerning a put away woman remarrying another man while her bound mate is living. That's why this statement is absolute. There are no other modifiers in the scriptures. Luke 16:18a is not absolute. Luke 16:18b is absolute. That's what the scriptures say. And we are not being inconsistent in our argument. Brother Reeve stood here yesterday evening and told us that we are trying to put all the put away people in a box. He made that statement. Maybe you remember those hand gestures that he made. That Brother Gwynn is just putting all the put away people in a box. Well, what about that? I think he's using our reference to Matthew 5:32. What's it say? Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. What's Matthew 19:9 say? And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. What's Luke 16:18 say? Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. We didn't make that box. That is Jesus' box. Those are Jesus' statements. Jesus put those women in that box. Not me, not anyone else. That is Jesus' box. And He has made it, and He has put the qualification on who applies and who is placed in that box. Brother Reeves also said that my position makes the divine rights of an innocent person hinging on what an ungodly spouse does. Do you get that? He said that my position makes the divine rights of an innocent person hinging on what an ungodly spouse does. Let's address this. Note that Brother Reeves agrees that there are certain put-away persons that cannot remarry. Let's go back to an earlier illustration involving Fred and Jane. Let's say that Fred and Jane are married, but Fred decides to divorce her. She is innocent of fornication, but Fred puts her away anyway. That's an ungodly act, isn't it? That's an ungodly act that he just did. But let's argue that Fred never commits fornication. He never has a sexual relationship with another person. In that case, Jane can never remarry. And matter of fact, Brother Reeves agrees with us that Jane cannot remarry in this case. Well, we would ask, is that fair? No, that's not fair. We ask, is it too hard? Well, it is very hard. That's a hard thing. Is it unjust? Yes, it is unjust. Is it too legal for us, including Brother Reeves, to teach this? The answer is no. Is it too literal for us, including Brother Reeves, to teach this? The answer is no. Brother Reeves also teaches that certain innocent people cannot remarry, even when it results from an unfair situation. Here, he agrees that the ungodly spouse has affected the rights of the innocent person. Brother Reeves is inconsistent. He does what he criticizes us for doing. What about that idea that we talked about yesterday about can a put-away person still put away their spouse even after they have been put away? Brother Reeves says it's possible. We try to use a simple illustration. That it's like the old statement, you can't fire me, I quit. And we said that once you're fired, you can't quit. There's no job for you to quit from. I want to elaborate on that. In this situation, in this illustration of a job, it takes two people to make a job agreement. The boss comes to you and says, I'll pay you X dollars an hour to do this job. And you agree that for this many dollars an hour, I will perform this task. There's two people making an agreement, a vow. There may even be a contract that you sign. When you take that job. But it takes two people to agree to that job. But it only takes one person to end that agreement, doesn't it? It just takes one person. Your boss might fire you. Or you might choose to quit. But it just takes one person to end that vow, to end that contract, to end that agreement that you've made. It took two people to get into that agreement, but it only took one person to get out of it. The same is true about marriage. When the marriage is ended, it has been dissolved. There is nothing remaining to put asunder. It takes two people to initiate that covenant of marriage, but it only takes the action of one to dissolve that marriage. Once you're put away, there's nothing left to put away. Brother Reeves said that God doesn't recognize or approve the actions of an ungodly spouse. Do you hear what he said? He said, God doesn't recognize or approve the actions of an ungodly spouse. I want to look with you about that in Matthew 19:9 and prove to you that that is not the case. It's obviously a very important verse in this discussion. Brother Reeves accused me of misquoting him in this text. Nowhere in this chart is there any quotations from Brother Reeves. I have not misquoted him. I've simply stated what Brother Reeves' false doctrine forces this text, how he has to force it to read, and how he has to change the definition of the same word in order to get the outcome that he desires. Let's look at it again. You know that in this verse there are two possibilities, there are two scenarios. One scenario is where fornication has occurred in the marriage, and the other is where no fornication has occurred. Let's look at scenario one, a putting away for fornication. Let's read it that way. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife for fornication and shall marry another does not commit adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. In this case, he wants put away to mean really divorced. Really divorced in the eyes of God. That's how he wants this to read. But let's look at the second scenario, a putting away which was not for fornication. And let's read it that way. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, not for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. In this case, he wants it to read, put away, to only mean accommodatively, or in the eyes of men. That's how Brother Reeves wants it. But do you see what's happening here? It's the same word in the same verse. And Brother Reeves wants it to mean two different things depending on the circumstances, depending on the situation. We have simply asked Brother Reeves, which way is it? It has to be one way or the other. Also, we said, but bottom line, either way, however you take it, the end result is still the same. Whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. God does recognize the actions of ungodly spouses. This verse tells us that. God recognizes the actions of ungodly spouses. Let me readdress something that I addressed last night. Let me make something a little more clear. I'm afraid I didn't do that. I made it with reference to this chart, which refers to Mark chapter 10, verse 11. It says, "And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her." Brother Reeves says that this proves the put-away wife can subsequently put away her mate after he remarries because he committeth adultery against her, the first wife, he says. We only meant to mention that there are scholars who argue that the her is actually the second wife, not the first. We take no position on this. In fact, we don't really care about the scholars, but the point that we are making that is if Brother Reeves is building his argument solely, building his whole case, solely on this issue, then it is a weak one because many scholars don't agree with the conclusion that he's drawn. That's the only point that we were trying to make, is that it is a weak argument to build a case on something that the scholars are not even in agreement about. But regardless, the more important point is, this verse provides no authority for the put-away wife to remarry. And also, Brother Reeves has not circumvented the absolute prohibition on put-away persons remarrying in Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, and Luke 16 and verse 18. I want to talk with you about some of the things that we've exchanged in these questions prior to each night of debate, and I probably won't get time to finish, and I'll continue in my next speech. We ask, Brother Reeves, if a man puts away his scriptural wife when neither he or his wife has committed fornication, he does not subsequently commit fornication, is the wife really biblically put away? Brother Reeves says, yes, she is really put away. We want to emphasize this. He said an innocent put away woman is really put away. I want to look at another question that we asked Brother Reeves, and he answered before this evening's debate. We asked him, if a man puts away his wife for a reason other than fornication, are they still married or are they divorced? He says, they are now divorced. Do you see that? He said, they are now divorced. He said, the woman is put away. He said, they are now divorced. Look quickly with me at the next slide. Jesus said that her that is divorced committeth adultery. You see here in Matthew 5:32, is divorced. Matthew 19:9, is put away. He is strictly rejecting the teachings of Christ. It says, those that are divorced, those that are put away, cannot remarry. Brother Reeves agrees that they're put away. Brother Reeves agrees that they're divorced. But then he denies Jesus' teachings for those people who are put away and who are divorced.